Amen. If that isn't worth getting up to go to church for, I don't know what is. All right. Our scripture comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this morning. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. It's been a long time since we have lived in a community that celebrated Halloween as well as Texas City celebrates Halloween. We came from a community that celebrated Halloween very well, and my husband and I both have great memories of trick-or-treating. And we were sad to miss Halloween here, but the days working up to Halloween, everybody's like, "Oh, our subdivision really gets into Halloween, and we just have droves and droves of kids come into our subdivision, and people line up. We have to have police outside to kind of control the traffic." And, you know, we were very disappointed we couldn't be here for Halloween. My in-laws, Mac's parents, celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary last night. They did not get married on Halloween. Y'all can go ahead and clap. We're excited for them. But it was the day that they could get the venue. The venue was not available for their actual Halloween. I mean, for their anniversary, their actual Halloween. It was open for Halloween. And the weather was just like it was here. It was very, very dreary. So I kept on telling my kids, if you're going to miss a Halloween, this is a great night to miss Halloween. But I understand it was an awesome Halloween here. Tons of kids. Jessica said she bought 400 of these little books that tell the story of Jesus. She to put in everyone's bag along with the candy. And she just about gave them all away, which is amazing, absolutely amazing. So I'm excited that this community celebrates Halloween. The first year we moved away from our hometown, we thought, "Oh, we live in the parsonage. We're going to have so many kids come to our house." We bought tons of candy, so excited, and we had one trick-or-treater. And it was like that for several years in several of the places that we lived. So we're very, very excited to be in a place that celebrates Halloween, All Hallows Eve. All Saints Day and All Hallows Eve, Halloween, have a very, very, very long history. In fact, All Hallows Eve has always been celebrated at the same time, October 31st. And it was a pagan holiday. The date was actually pagan. And it was to celebrate the Lord of the Dead. And they believed on this night that the veil, or the screen, became extremely thin between the living and the dead, and the dead could cross over. But these were not, they did not believe these were friendly spirits. And on this day, the communities were getting ready and preparing for winter. So they were taking account and inventory of all they had that brought in from the harvest that would last them through the winter. They were also butchering animals to prepare to get through the winter. And they believed that these spirits would come and play tricks on them, that they would do bad things to their stores, to their stocks, and they wouldn't be able to make it through the winter. So they make these big, huge bonfires to scare away the spirits, and they would wear masks to make them look like the spirits. And maybe if they thought the spirits thought that there were spirits already there, they would be passed over. Well, the kids, in order to build up the bonfires, the kids would go from house to house to house, getting little pieces of coal to add to the bonfire. Does that sound familiar? Going house to house to house with little sacks? Except that now we're not building bonfires. The church celebrated it wasn't really All Saints Day. It was celebrated in May, and it was to recognize the martyrs of the church, those who had died for their faith. Well, as the church went along, they thought, you know, we're going to move this holiday to coincide with this thing that's going on here on October 31st. And we're going to put All Saints Day, and we're going to celebrate not just martyrs, but all the saints that have gone before us. And so All Saints Day has coexisted with All Hallows Eve for a very, very long time. That when we actually step out in Halloween, it's actually a preparation for what happens today. It's not really about spooky, scary monsters. It's actually a day of preparation for remembrance that we come here to do today. And it's grown. It's amazing how things evolve in the church over time, that today we not only remember the martyrs who died for their faith, are the saints that have gone before us, that have joined the great cloud of witnesses that sing at the heavenly throne, but we celebrate all the saints that exist through time. That means we're here to recognize the saints that are alive here, now, today. And some of you may say, well, I'm not a saint. This isn't a day for me. And that may be so in your own eyes, but I bet there's someone in your life who does think that you're a saint. So I want you to think about it this morning. As you remember the saints that have gone before, your loved ones that you miss so dearly, I want you to open your eyes to the saints that are around you here now today. Who are those saints that have marked your life for the better? Those saints that have loved you? Maybe those saints that told you the stories of Jesus. Maybe those saints that held your hand in your darkest moments. And maybe, here's your challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge early, all right, because we've got a lot of other things to do today. Here's your challenge: to contact that saint that is still living, that is still here now today on this earth, and call them and let them know how much they mean to you, how much you love them. And maybe even let them know what they've done for you. Now, not only do we recognize all the saints that have gone and that are here now today, but and also the saints that are to come, We also recognize this power of resurrection, that we are a people of resurrection, that we understand that Jesus lived, was crucified, dead, and buried, but he was raised on the third day. And because he was raised on the third day, we too, through Christ and through faith, also receive eternal life. And we serve a God of the living. In the Hebrew days, there was the Sanhedrin. They were the governing body of the Jews. And they were made up of scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees had one thing that you could count on them to argue about, and that was whether there was a resurrection or not. So we have a place in the book of Matthew where they're trying to trick Jesus to see what Jesus is going to say. Does Jesus believe in the resurrection or not? Now, the Pharisees said, yes, there is a resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. Get it? That's how you can remember that. All right. So in Matthew 22, verses 31, Jesus is standing before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they have asked him a question. And Jesus answers them, but he also goes on to say this. He says, "And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Jesus says after that, and now remember, these three individuals, the fathers of their faith, had been gone for a very long time. Jesus says, "He is God not of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teachings. The reason this hit home for them is they knew that God was the God of living, but yet that was one of God's main titles, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If that is his title and he is God of the living, then they too are alive, you see. Now we fast forward to the visions of the book of Revelation. And you have these visions that are going on for John, and this is one of them. This passage that I read to you earlier comes right after the calling of all the tribes. All the tribes coming forward, counting 144,000 saints. That's what he hears. He hears the calling of these tribes, and he hears the numbers. But when he opens his eyes, and he looks, and he sees this multitude, it is a multitude so great that it cannot be counted. They cannot be numbered. Can't even tell where these people are from because it's so many nations, so many languages, so many races. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what we come here today to remember. The great cloud of witnesses that our beloved have gone to join, it's massive. So many. And God is still calling his children home, calling them to eternal life. A place where there is no more sorrow, no more pain. It even sounds like the air is the perfect temperature. The sun will not scorch them. They won't even get hot. They'll always be comfortable. We'll always be comfortable. No more tears. You know, on this side of it, God says, "I am counting all your tears. I'm capturing them in a bottle." On that side of it, there aren't any more tears. It's a beautiful image to remember on this day when we come to remember our loved ones. Our loved ones who we're going to name here today. I want you to stand. Will you please stand? And will you please read with me? We bless your holy name, O God, for all your servants who, having finished their course, now rest from their labors. Give us grace to follow the example of their steadfastness and faithfulness. To your honor and glory, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you. Sylvia Bosselman. Jeannie Freshour. Is it going out? Betty Fuller. Byron Grip. Robert McLemore. Robin Newton. Oh, you are here. That's okay.
What do I do?
Just relight it. Yep. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Doug Sternberg. Done. And for our friends and family of St. John's. You may be seated.